Welcome to Resonate with Edgil and Davis. I'm Owen Edgil.
I'm David Davis.
How you doing, man?
Yeah, good.
Good?
Good, good.
Good to see you, Cal. As always, good to see everybody else.
Yes.
Welcome to this session, another edition of us chatting away. Hopefully you can resonate with what we're going to say and what we're going to talk about. That'd be great.
I hope so too.
Yeah, indeed.
Never know what it's going to be.
Do you know, I reckon there must be people out there probably thinking, yeah, it's probably scripted this. They're probably, you know, spending like, I don't know, a couple of days or an afternoon talking about it. But we're not. It just really is scripted.
It's so, our coffee shop. It's our coffee shop talk.
It is. It literally is our coffee shop talk.
Not that we drink coffee, but yeah. Mm.
I must admit, I have been drinking a lot of coffee recently. I'm getting into this, Starbucks and the Cafe Nero. And
really?
My daughter's been dragging me in that.
Wow.
So it's her fault.
Okay.
11-year-old dragging me into places like that. So there you go.
Okay.
So I've been sampling a few things with regards to those types of coffee.
So what kind of your sample? I know we're still resonating, but what kind of sample of coffee is your choice?
It's not actually a coffee. It's a chocolate, a white mocha.
All of these.
I know.
Blow me away.
But it's phenomenal.
Blows me.
Yeah. But usually I'm a tea man, herbal tea man.
Yeah, ditto.
But there you go. Right. Let's.
We diverse slightly, maybe.
Indeed.
I don't know.
Why not? We have it to do. All right. Where I used to work many, many years ago,
mm-hmm.
Dee and everyone, there was a chap, he went by the name of Brian Walsh. Hi, Brian, if you're listening. And in his office, there was a little quote, and it was on a faded piece of paper on the wall of his office. And it read, "Bad planning on your part should not now constitute a crisis on my part."
Okay.
And, like I said, this was a long, long time ago, but for some reason this week, that quote came up in my head, and I thought, so much so, I thought I'd share it with you and share it with everybody else and get your views. And his take was, just because you've made a mistake, just because your planning hasn't gone right, he was putting it in the context of him sitting in his office. Don't come into my office now complaining and expecting me to go out of my way because of your bad planning, right? And it's always, obviously, stuck in my head for all those years. And a few things have come up this week, last week, in my world of work that connected with that quote from all those years ago. And we've said it on previous occasions in terms of the key with all this stuff that we talk about is remembering to remember the information, so therefore we can grab that information and use it in the now. So in other words, most people can talk very eloquently and intelligently, D and everyone, about a certain quote, about how to be and how to live the life. But when that going gets tough for that individual, they find it hard to remember that information in order to use it in the now. And a few things happened to me this week where people haven't done what they said they were going to do, and all of a sudden it created a crisis on my part because of their bad planning. But because I remember to remember that quote, I was able to say no to that individual.
Mm-hmm.
Don't drag me into this situation that because of your planning, which went wrong, now I'm in crisis for it. So it was great that I remembered the quote, and it was great that I was able to use it in terms of, well, your planning went wrong. It had nothing to do with me, but now you're trying to put it on me that it's now a crisis on my part. So the strap line, bad planning on your part should now not constitute a crisis on my part.
So what is the question to me?
The question to you and everyone is, do you ever find yourself in a situation where you've done your bit.
Right.
And say you're in relation with another person when you're working on something, you've done your bit, but the other person hasn't done their bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, and as a result of them not doing their bit, it's now created a crisis on your part.
Yeah, that happens. It happens too frequently.
And when it happens too frequently, what do you do to get out of it, or what do you do to put that right, if anything?
Well, in the first instance, if I can just kind of say, we had a saying in the military.
Right.
And it was the six P's.
And they are?
If you've got children under the age of 16, put them to bed afterwards, well, cover their ears. Planning and preparation prevents piss poor performance.
Right.
And as you know, in the military, you have to plan things.
Right.
And if, as you quite rightly said, and if that plan has not been adhered to the fullest extent, there's going to be a knock-on effect. But you can't blame anyone else if you're the one that was making that plan or that resolution to get this particular job done. So I suppose in answering the question, how do I behave? There comes a point when you have to, in the first instance, look at the individuals concerned or the situation concerned. Because plans go awry. Plans do go awry. They fail. And therefore, there are times when you have to allow for that failure. But if those plans or the individuals concerned keep failing, and the onus is on me to try and ensure that everything gets back on track, that's not right. That definitely isn't right. You should have a plan. You should have how you're going to execute it. And if it fails, it fails. But the onus is on you or I or you that created that plan at the end of the day.
Mm.
But that's not to say you should be scared of making any plans. It's not to say that you should not actually stand up for your conviction in the plans that you've made. But what you should be able to do is, if things are going awry, for whatever reason it may be, because as I say, nothing is solid. And some people say, if you have a plan B, it simply means plan A is going to fail. Some people may say that. But I say, because of my military background, you should have a plan B, in case it fails. And I think you should keep people informed along the way to ensure, if plans do change, or if that particular, for instance, if I plan to meet you in Starbucks, because that's where you seem to be hanging out lately, if I plan to meet you there, and for whatever reason, I don't show up, and you're thinking, well, where is he? I've got the onus to kind of pick up a phone, send you a text, whatever it may be, get a message to you, say, I can't make it. There's got to be some form of responsibility for me, because I've made that plan to meet you. I have to get back to you somehow if I'm not going to make it, right? Or do I just leave you hanging on? And I know that's just a small incidental subject matter, but the facts are, if you have a plan and it's not going to work, you have to inform someone.
Right.
And therefore you're not putting the onus onto them.
Right. Okay. Taking your examples on board, move it in another way, where the crisis is now fallen on you because that individual hasn't done their bit. How do you react in that situation? How do you react in that situation? What do you do? What do you say to that person? How do you deal with that situation? I know that you say that, you know, plans can not go right and go according to script. But I'm talking about somebody not doing their bit, and as a result, those plans have gone awry, and it's now constituted a crisis on your part. How do you deal with that? Do you get annoyed? Do you get frustrated? Do you speak your truth to that individual?
You've got to speak.
You suffer in silence.
No. You've got to speak your truth. And as I think we've also said in a previous podcast, the truth may hurt, but they're the facts.
Right.
If indeed you have that plan, you're responsible for that plan, and all of a sudden because you haven't done or prepared properly, because piss poor planning, you haven't prepared properly, you can't just put the onus onto someone else, because that someone else is going to be thinking, well, hang on a minute, why is this now just thrown into my lap?
That's the practice.
How am I supposed to deal with it when I really don't know what's going on?
Right.
In the sense that I never made the plan, so yeah. Why is it thrown into my lap? So I'm going to be frustrated.
Right.
I'm going to be not annoyed. Frustration is the key. But I'd have to go back to that individual and just say, why is it falling to my lap? Why has it got to such a level, such a stage, where I seem to be the one to blame here, and I need to make the changes for you? I can't do that. I shouldn't do that. It's not my.
Have you ever made the changes for someone in that situation?
Yeah.
And yeah. Even when you was making them changes, did you know that you shouldn't really be making those changes because of their bad planning has now constituted a crisis on your part, where you now have to now pick up the pieces and sort that situation out?
It's difficult. It's difficult because if it does involve you, there's somewhere along the line it must involve you, or else you're not going to be feeling the frustration of that individual
right.
not doing the job properly or not doing the job at all.
Right.
So it falls upon you somewhere in the frame of things. So you do have a responsibility to get whatever it is, get that job done, one way or the other. So as frustrated as you can be, you have to tell them, I'm not happy with this. I'll take it on board, no wrong with it for now, because for whatever reason, you're not able to do it. So I'll take it on board for now, but it's not going to happen again. It'll happen once, I'll take charge of it, or I'll get the job done, or I'll help you through it, but it can't happen, it can't keep happening. Or else the individual concerned feels, what responsibilities have they got?
Right.
What? I know each time I can go to that person and they'll deal with it for me. It doesn't work that way.
Right. And that's the key point. They say that we shouldn't cover up for that individual.
They,
when I say they, the sages of this world, who created that quote, we shouldn't. We've done our bit, I've done my bit. We've sat down, you've sat down with someone, we've sat down and we've worked out a plan, even though I hear what you're saying in terms of plans go awry, but if it's just a certain thing that person had to do to make that, to join that job, that gap up, and to create that thing, and they never did it, right? And we know the reason why they never did it. It's because they probably couldn't be bothered, or they forgot, or something like that. You know, it's not like a life and death situation where they couldn't come through in that situation, right? We shouldn't then have to go after them and clean that mess up. We shouldn't have to do it. And if we do it, here's the thing, if we do it, then it gives that person leverage to think, I've just messed up, but Dee sorted it, Erwin sorted it, so it's all good. And we've not actually said something to that individual plainly and assertively to turn around and say, look, this has happened, we've agreed on this, it's not happened, and I'm not going to do anything with it. That's one thing. Or you can turn around and say, I'll sort it, as you said, But then they think in their mind, well, he sorted it, so if it happens again, he's probably likely to sort it again.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're letting them off the hook through their bad planning. The crisis on our part, but we're feeding that by letting them off the hook. So that's my question. Do you let them off the... And by the way, you mentioned the word frustration. There is a school of thought that frustration is a subtle form of anger. So when we get frustrated, we're really getting angrier and angrier. So if that situation happens, we're getting angrier, you use the word frustration, but then we're putting it right when we really don't want to put it right because they didn't do what they should have done, and then it escalates into something else. So it's all about nipping it in the bud, and nipping it in the bud could well be, well, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it.
Silence. Full stop.
Full stop. I'm not doing it. What's going to happen?
Full stop. What's going to happen is...
In other words, are you willing to be in that situation where you can be in that awkward silence by saying to that individual, you've messed up, and I'm not going to clean up after you?
We can look at, for instance, a teenager. Yeah? And mum and dad have basically said, right, you need to get that bedroom cleaned up.
Right.
Well, it's a simple solution to just get everything, gather everything, hoover it, dust it, sweep it, maybe just in a bundle, throw it in the locker, in the wardrobe, whatever, it's tidy. So mum walks in, dad walks in, it's tidy. Because you're just sick of all the crisp paper, the biscuits, the cans of Coke, whatever it may be.
Right.
You just want to, so it's an easy enough thing, isn't it?
Right.
But if that teenager, and let's just say you're having a house viewing as well, let's add another kind of flavour into it. You're selling the house, estate agent's coming around with a client, you want that house cleaned. You want it cleaned.
Right.
Mum and dad have got the response because they're selling the house.
Right.
They've told Johnny, little Johnny, clean up the bedroom. Johnny's gone, yeah. And Johnny's just, his mate's called him, Johnny, we're going to go downtown, a bit of shopping and stuff. Johnny goes, yeah, that's great. Off they go.
Right.
Johnny's left the bedroom.
Yeah.
Estate agent comes in with client, opens, everyone, we've gone around the house, opens Johnny's bedroom door, and it's just an absolute abysmal mess.
Right.
State agent tells, reports back to mum because the clients walk out thinking this is disgusting.
Right.
Nice house, but it's disgusting.
Yeah.
They can't see any further than that. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
State agent rings up for feedback, gives the feedback to the parents. Parents go, what? He left it there? So they get back home and they're saying to Johnny, listen, we told you to clean up the bedroom. We had someone coming around. Why didn't you clean it? Oh, well, my mate's called and went out with my mate. He says, what's the problem? The parents, the effect is, the parents have now had to take on board, they've lost a possible buyer,
right,
because that bedroom was an absolutely smelly, it was an absolute mess. The windows weren't open, there was just no fresh air, it was stale socks, whatever. The parents have had to take that on board. So it's fallen on their lap.
Right.
But the thing is, they're the ones that are trying to sell the house. So what I hear what you're saying, why should you take responsibility? But there comes a time when you have to get involved. You have to probably just do it yourself.
Right.
But you have to say to Johnny, I've given you a warning. And I've given you two, what's three strikes in a row? So is that thing, three right. strikes? Right. I don't know. It depends on you, the individual, how many strikes you want to give the person that's failing. But the fact is, if the onus is on you, in general terms, the butt has got to stop at you at some point. And you've got to either say to Johnny, right, you're not sleeping in this bedroom for the next 3 months. Don't care where you sleep, but you're not sleeping in here. The bedroom's clean. So you say that to Johnny. Or if it's a work thing, do you then say, right, this is your final warning. I've told you before, we need the project out deadline this Monday. If it doesn't happen again, because twice now it's happened, if it doesn't happen again, you're going to get a written warning. And then you go down that particular line. But the individuals have to be told, of course they do. But what I'm saying is the boss is the responsible for getting that project out on time. Not just the individual concerned, but the bosses. So does the boss intervene to ensure that his head's not on the block? Because up above, the hierarchy, are not interested in what the boss says because Johnny Boy, who's the apprentice, or indeed the project manager, he cares about what the CEO is doing or the boss of that particular company is doing. So the boss has got to have some form of responsibility too. Am I right or am I wrong? So surely the boss has got to step in sometimes when things are going awry,
right,
to ensure that at least the job gets done.
All right, two good examples. So the first one, with the child, kids, that's what they like. But I know people who do everything for their children.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of doing everything for their children, they end up destroying their children.
That's doing everything for the children. Right. That is destroying them, yeah.
Right, right. So when it comes to a situation like that, and it's a case of tidy your room because, you know, we're going to sell the house, and the room doesn't get tidied, but then the parents blow up at the kid. It's not the kid's fault. It's the parents' fault because they've indulged that kid over the years, and now that kid's in a paradigm where they're just like, well, this is just me because mum's always done it for me, dad's always done it for me, but now there's a bit of a something needs to happen, and because I'm still in this habit of not doing anything, mm-hmm, now they're blowing up at me. So that's not the kid's fault. It's the parents' fault.
Yeah.
Right. Take it a step further, as you mentioned, two good examples. In the office, you and I work in an office. Sandra is part of our team.
Mm-hmm.
We're all working in a team. Sandra doesn't do her bit. And all of a sudden, because she's not done her bit, we've now got to stay behind to do her bit. Mm-hmm. The boss has turned and said, oh, indeed, do you know what?
It's got to be done.
She's got to, now you've got to do it.
Yeah.
Now we've got to, we can't like go out and arrange to do what we needed to do because we've now got to do her stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're going to be annoyed at that.
But Sandra needs to be told, doesn't she?
Of course she needs to be told.
Of course you're going to be annoyed. You're going to be frustrated.
Right, right. But how many times can that keep happening where me and you are frustrated or you are frustrated with someone and nobody's saying anything to that someone, and as a result of it, the crisis has now fallen on us where we have to turn and say, look, I'm not doing it to the boss. No, I'm not doing it. Why should I have to do it? She messed up. Now you're getting you and I to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you do something, as you mentioned, one strike and you're out, or whatever strikes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Why don't you do something to her or to him instead of putting it on us and now we're in crisis because of their bad dwelling? Why? I know, yeah, but come on, you can do it. So we're suffering for it. So the question is, just to bring this thing down for a landing, Dean, everyone, the question is, bad planning on your part should not constitute a crisis on mine or yours. Or vice versa, it shouldn't. We should be in a situation where, in any given moment, we can speak our truth to that individual. Mm-hmm. And even if it gets to a point where we might say, oh, well, go on, I'll just do it. And then it's out of the way, just do it. We're then destroying that other person. And we're also putting ourselves in a situation where we're saying, well, even though we're saying it's wrong, we're still trying to put it right. So what does that say about us? It's a massive contradiction on our part. That's the point I'm trying to make with it. So for me, I believe, and it's just my opinion, that if somebody messes up when we've arranged for it to be in a certain situation, you do that bit, I do that bit, and that bit that they're doing doesn't come through, then I'm not going to be in a situation, and we shouldn't have to be in a situation where we say, go on, then I'll do it for you.
Correct, you shouldn't have to be. You shouldn't have to be. But in life, you're going to find all of us find ourselves in that particular situation where you go, do you know what? I'll do it. I'll just do it to get it done. But I'll let you know now, it's not going to happen again. And I think it's all dependent on the individuals concerned. You're right, you shouldn't have to, but various situations will lead to different frames of mind where someone's got to get the job done. Because if it's left, the onus is going to be not just on the individual concerned, but onto you as well. Because you've got some involvement. You have got some involvement in it. So you make the choices. I say, this is my personal opinion, as you have your personal opinion, because we don't always agree here, do we?
Oh, not at all, we shouldn't.
And because it's debatable. It's all debatable.
Yeah.
But in my eyes, it's like, you do get that three strikes. After the three, that's it.
Right, that's fine. But have you told that individual, this is the key, have you said to that individual, Luke, do you know what, three strikes and you're out, man.
Yeah, three strikes and you're out. Yeah.
Because if you've not told them...
It's the warning.
Because if you've not told them initially, that, Luke, do you know what, I've either got zero tolerance on you not doing your bit, or it's three strikes. If you don't tell them that initially, then they're not going to know. And then all of a sudden, you're in your mind thinking, well, I'll give them another chance, and I'll give them another chance. So what I'm trying to say is, we need to set it up, don't we?
It's got to be set up. Not? Everything's got to be set up. Everything's got to be set up. And that's part of your planning.
Right. Yes. Yes.
That's part of your planning.
Yes. I agree.
Here's the bar. Here's a level. This is what I need from you. And if you can't come up to that level...
Right.
And you need to let me know. Can you come up to that level? Yes. Great. You're on board. If you can't come up to that level, also let me know. Because if you can't... We can't do this together. We can't work together.
Because the planning is going to go awry, and then as a result of that planning, it's going to constitute a crisis on your part, my part, or your part.
Yeah.
There you go. That's it from me. You need to say a few words.
I do, as always. Please like, please share. As I say, it's a debatable topic, and these topics... Sometimes we need comments. Well, all the time. So we can get your views. And I think that's so important.
Yeah, definitely.
And when you've done that, share it amongst your friends, colleagues, relatives. And until the next time.
It's bye from me.
And it's bye from me.